So I have a question for you. When you boot up a new video game for the first time, like any game, doesn't matter, what difficulty do you pick?
Normal. Every time.
I'm not a psychopath.
Right, normal. And why?
Because it's normal. It's the baseline. The developers designed the game around the experience. Easy is training wheels, hard is for masochists. Normal is how the game is meant to be played.
Okay, but here's the thing. That's not true at all. Normal is just a label slapped on one of several internally coherent rule sets. The developers didn't build the game and then add easy and hard as distortions. They built multiple complete experiences and called one of them normal because it tested well with their target audience, which, by the way, was overwhelmingly young men in North America and Western Europe.
I feel like you're about to tell me that my entire life is a difficulty setting I didn't choose.
That is exactly what I'm about to tell you. Welcome to episode 153. Today we're talking about the American default setting. Why the culture you grew up in feels like normal mode when it's actually one of the most extreme difficulty configurations on the planet.
Oh, we're going there.
We're going there. And I want to start with a number that genuinely messed me up when I first read it. 96%.
96% of what?
Of all psychology study subjects, like the humans whose behavior got written into your psych textbook, the data behind every article about what humans do, 96% of them come from Western, educated, industrialized, rich, democratic nations, which represent about 12% of humanity.
So we built our entire understanding of human behavior on 12% of humans.
It gets worse. About 70% of those subjects are specifically American, and a huge chunk of those are college undergrads doing studies for course credit. You are 4,000 times more likely to be studied by a psychologist as a Western undergrad than as a random person on Earth.
4,000 times. So when a headline says studies show humans prefer X.
It means studies show 19-year-olds at the University of Michigan prefer X. And in 2010, a researcher named Joe Henrich published this landmark paper where he coined the acronym WEIRD: Western, Educated, Industrialized, Rich, Democratic. And showed that Americans aren't just Western, they're outliers among outliers. Like, if you mapped all human cultures on a spectrum, Americans wouldn't be in the middle. They'd be hanging off the edge.
We're the speedrunners who think everyone else is playing wrong.
Perfect analogy. And here's the beautiful part, the proof. You know the ultimatum game?
Is that the one where you split money with a stranger?
Yeah, classic economics experiment. I get $10, I offer you a split, and if you reject mine offer, neither of us gets anything. Standard economic theory said humans universally split around 50-50 and reject offers below about 30% because we have innate fairness norms.
That sounds reasonable.
It sounds reasonable because you grew up on normal mode. Henrich ran this game across 15 small-scale societies around the world. The Michigan Gov Peru. They offered 26% on average and almost never rejected anything. Their logic was basically, free money is free money, why would I turn it down?
That's honestly kind of rational.
Extremely rational. And then the Lamelar of Indonesia, they're whale hunters who survived through massive community cooperation. They sometimes offered more than 50%. Because in their culture, generosity is how you maintain your social standing. What economists call the universal human fairness was actually just the specific fairness norms of people who grew up in market economies.
So the rules aren't universal, they're homebrew.
And that's the second metaphor I want to use today. Because this is exactly like D&D homebrew rules. You know how every table has house rules?
Oh, absolutely. My group has like 15 house rules, and half of them we can't even remember the origin of. Someone just said we do it this way in 2019, and now it's canon.
Right, and after enough sessions, the house rules stop feeling like modifications. They just feel like the rules. You forget they were ever a choice someone made. That's culture. Every society accumulates these homebrew rules over centuries, about fairness, about work, about what you owe strangers, about how much the government should be involved in your life. And after enough generations, they calcify. They stop feeling like rules at all. They just feel like reality.
That's just how things are.
The most dangerous sentence in any language, and I want to throw some numbers at you that show just how weird America's homebrew rules are compared to the rest of the developed world. You ready?
Hit me.
Mandated vacation days. The United States, 0.
Wait, 0? Like federally?
Zero, the US, is the only rich country on Earth with no mandated paid vacation. Europe ranges from 20 to 30 days. Federal paid parental leave in the US, 0 weeks. The only OECD nation. Europe ranges from 14 to 86 weeks. Federal paid sick leave, 0 days. Europe gives you 29 to 50 days per illness event.
We are speedrunning the capitalism skill tree with no points in rest.
And here's the kicker. Americans work 1,799 hours a year on average. Germans work 1,343. That's a gap of 456 hours. That's 11 full-time work weeks. Germans get 11 more weeks off per year and produce comparable economic output per hour.
So we're not even grinding more efficiently.
We're just grinding more.
Pretty much. And this connects to something we talked about way back in episode 79, the architecture of choice. Remember, nudge theory.
Yeah, where your environment is designed to push you toward certain decisions without you realizing it.
Culture is choice architecture at civilizational scale. The reason Americans work those extra 11 weeks isn't because individual Americans love working more. It's because the entire system, the lack of mandated leave, employer-provided healthcare tied to your job, the cultural narrative that hustle equals virtue, it's all architected to nudge you toward more work. You're not choosing. You're being nudged by a system that was homebrewed generations ago.
That's kind of what we talked about in the Inherited Problems episode 2, right?
Episode 142, you move into a house and discover the previous owner never fixed the furnace.
Exactly. These policies are inherited infrastructure. Nobody alive today designed the system where your health insurance evaporates if you quit your job. It just accumulated homebrew rules from a campaign that started before you sat down at the table.
Okay. So, we've established that America is playing on a weird difficulty setting with some very specific house rules. But here's what I want to know. How deep does this go? Is it just policy stuff, or does it actually change how people think?
Oh, it goes way deeper than policy. It rewires your literal perception. There's this classic optical illusion called the Mueller illusion. Two lines with arrows on the ends, one pointing inward, one pointing outward. You've definitely seen it.
Yeah, where one line looks longer even though they're the same length.
Right, that was considered a universal feature of human vision for decades. Then researchers tested it on the sand people of the Kalahari Desert, and they showed almost zero susceptibility to the illusion.
Their eyes just work differently.
The hypothesis is that people who grow up in what researchers call carpentered worlds, environments full of right angles, rectangular rooms, straight hallways, train their visual processing systems to interpret certain angle patterns as depth cues. The sand people don't live in rectangular buildings. Their architecture is curved, so their brains never develop that particular shortcut. Your buildings literally rewire your eyes.
That is genuinely unsettling. Like you're telling me my visual cortex has homebrew rules.
Your visual cortex, your sense of fairness, your perception of what's normal in a relationship, your assumptions about what a government should provide, all of it. Richard Nisbet at the University of Michigan found that East Asians and Westerners literally see different things when shown the same image. Westerners focus on the central object, analytic perception. East Asians take in the whole scene, holistic perception. Culture wires attention itself.
Remember episode 97, the Fog of War episode, where we talked about how most people are walking around with huge blind spots about what's actually happening with technology.
Yeah, cultural frameworks are a fog of war. You can't see the parts of the map you haven't explored. And most people never explore outside their own culture's map because, why would you? Your map seems complete. It's got labels on everything. It says normal right there at the top.
So speaking of things that seem normal, I saw this thing online about how American Skittles and British Skittles are literally different candy.
Different recipes, yeah. Because the US permits roughly 10,000 food additives, and the EU permits about 400. And the philosophical gap is wild. The EU uses what's called the precautionary principle. You have to prove an additive is safe before it's allowed. The US uses the reactive principle. It's allowed until someone proves it's harmful. And here's the real stat. 99% of additives introduced to US food since the year 2000 were approved by the food industry itself through self-certification, not the FDA.
The food companies graded their own homework.
And gave themselves an A. This is a perfect example of what a researcher named Michelle Gelfand mapped in her work on tight versus loose cultures. She studied 33 nations and found that cultures exist on a spectrum. Tight cultures, like Japan, Singapore, Pakistan, have strong social norms and low tolerance for deviance. Loose cultures, like the US, the Netherlands, Australia, have weak norms and high tolerance for doing your own thing.
And America is super loose.
The US scores 91 out of 100 on Hofstede's individualism scale. Highest ever measured. Guatemala scored 6. Japan scored 46. America is so individualist it's literally off the chart compared to most of humanity.
We put all our skill points into individual freedom and not into collective infrastructure.
And that's the third metaphor. Skill trees. Think about it like Skyrim or Path of Exile. Once you've spent 30 years leveling one build, individualism, self-reliance, market solutions, personal responsibility, you can't just respect overnight. Even if you intellectually understand that another build exists and works well, your muscle memory, your instincts, your reflexes are all trained for the build you've been playing.
You can know the Nordic model exists and still feel weird about high taxes.
Exactly. Knowledge doesn't respect the tree. And Gelfen found something really interesting about the trade-offs. Tight cultures have lower rates of alcoholism, crime, and debt, but they also produce fewer patents and less artistic innovation. Loose cultures innovate more but have higher social disorder. It's not that one build is better, there are different stat allocations with real trade-offs.
So what happened during COVID?
Because that feels like the ultimate stress test for this.
It was. Loose nations had 5 times more COVID cases and 8 times more deaths in the first 10 months compared to tight nations. Norm compliance turns out to be a survival mechanic. When the raid boss shows up, the party that follows the strategy survives.
So the American build is high DPS, low defense.
Glass cannon nation, 121 guns per 100 people. Next closest country is around 15. Gun homicide rate compared to Germany is 51 to 77 times higher. Americans work more, rest less, pay more for healthcare, live shorter lives, and just fell out of the top 20 in the World Happiness Report for the first time in 2024.
But we have freedom.
And that's real. That's a real stat allocation. The US produces extraordinary innovation, cultural exports, entrepreneurship. The loose culture build has genuine advantages. But the mistake is thinking it's normal mode. It's not. It's a specific build with specific trade-offs that a specific culture developed under specific historical conditions.
Can the build even change at this point?
Like, are we locked in?
This is actually the most hopeful part of the research, and it surprised me. Cultural shifts that seem impossible can happen shockingly fast once the mechanism kicks in. Seatbelts. 11% usage in 1980, 92% today. A behavior that was seen as government overreach became universal in about 40 years. Smoking went from 42% of Americans in 1965 to about 11% now. The cultural image flipped from glamorous to pathetic in one generation.
Gay marriage is the wildest one to me. 35% support in 2001, 70% by 2024.
And the 2010 to 2015 acceleration was insane. 15 percentage points in 5 years. Driven by what's called contact theory. Once enough people personally knew someone who was gay, the abstract prejudice became unsustainable. You can maintain a belief system against a concept. You can maintain it against your cousin.
Your cousin is overpowered.
And the mechanism is always the same. External shock or new information hits. Then institutions and laws change. Then behavior changes to match the new rules. And then, finally, attitudes shift to justify the new behavior. People adjust their beliefs to match what they're already doing, not the other way around. Remember episode 87, The Swerve, Determinism and Free Will?
Yeah, where we talked about how your brain decides before you're conscious of deciding.
Same energy, how much of your worldview was chosen versus inherited from a skill tree you started leveling before you could speak. Japan went from militarist emperor worship to pacifist constitutional democracy after World War Roman II. South Korea had a GDP per capita of $82 in 1962, poorer than many sub-Saharan African nations, and became a tech superpower in one generation. These aren't small tweaks. These are full respects.
So it's possible. It just takes either a massive shock or a really long time.
Or exposure. Which is why I think this matters for us specifically as a show. Remember when we did the Switzerland episodes, Interlaken, Zurich, The Room of Requirement?
Episode 143, yeah, where we talked about how different cultures literally see a different country when they visit Switzerland.
That episode was us discovering this phenomenon in the wild without having the framework for it. Different cultures projected completely different desires onto the same mountains because their default settings told them different things about what mountains are for. The Indian family saw Bollywood romance locations. The Japanese tourist saw precision in trains. The German saw hiking efficiency. Same input, different rendering engine.
Because their difficulty settings load different textures.
And I think the move for us going forward is to be more conscious of that. To stop assuming American context is the default context. To notice when we're presenting one difficulty setting as normal mode.
The Ash conformity experiments are great for this, actually. Americans conform to obviously wrong group answers 37% of the time. Fiji showed 58%.
Belgium only 14%.
Even how much you go along with the crowd is culturally calibrated. There's no default human.
There's no default human. That might be the thesis of this whole episode. The Machigingo aren't wrong about fairness. The San people aren't wrong about perception. Denmark isn't wrong for paying students $1,000 a month to attend university, while American students graduate with $38,000 in debt. These are all internally coherent rule sets running on different difficulty settings.
And knowing that doesn't automatically change your build.
But it does clear some of the fog of war.
It does. And you know what? The ultimatum game results actually make me more optimistic. Not less. Because if fairness norms aren't hardwired, if they're learned, that means they can be relearned. The skill tree can be respected. It just takes intention, and maybe a few less Skittles additives.
I can't believe my candy has homebrew rules.
Everything you've ever consumed, believed, or felt strongly about has homebrew rules. You just forgot someone wrote them. That's the spell.
So what's next week?
Because I feel like we just unlocked a whole new questline.
So here's what I keep thinking about. We talked today about how cultures develop different default settings, right? But there's this fascinating thing happening right now where defaults are being stress-tested in real time. Remote work is creating accidental cultural cross-pollination. American companies with European employees are suddenly confronting the vacation norm gap. EU privacy regulations are clashing with American data practices through AI regulation. And it made me think, what actually happens when two completely different cultural operating systems have to merge, not coexist from a distance, but integrate into one shared system?
Corporate culture clashes at civilizational scale.
Exactly. So next time, I want to dig into what happens when companies, governments, or entire industries try to merge across cultural fault lines, the mergers that worked, the ones that catastrophically failed, and what the wreckage teaches us about whether you can actually blend two skill trees into one build.
Cross-cultural mergers. I'm so in.
All right. That's episode 153. We are Clowncast. If your difficulty setting feels like the only one that exists, congratulations. You're on normal mode. Now go check the options menu.
There's a whole settings screen you've never opened.
See you next time.